Good morning, this is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. The downtown Milwaukee skyline is dotted with construction cranes, from Northwestern Mutual's new complex at the eastern end of Wisconsin Avenue to the new Bucks Arena getting ready to break ground this summer. The city is buzzing with building activity. But how well do these projects enhance the city in which they're built? Tom Bamberger writes about urban design and architecture for UrbanMilwaukee.com, and he joins us now to discuss three projects that are either proposed refurbishments, as in the case of the Grand Avenue Mall and the Domes, or a new build, in the case of the Bucks Arena.
I try to write an article not so much about the design, but about the process, about how we digest these things, because the design is just off the shelf. It's a money-making machine. It'll be obsolete in 15 years. There's no civic ego in it, basically because when some billionaires from New York come to Milwaukee and they want to build a building, they're not trying to impress their friends. I mean, that's why the Art Museum's a good building. That's why the Pfister was a good building, is a good building, is you need to have a little civic ego in buildings. So it's a generic money-making machine that is almost beneath architectural comment. I mean, there's a big wave they put on it. You know, it's like a toupee that doesn't quite fit. One of the larger issues, I thought, which was egregious, is the fact that they just closed 4th Street. I don't even know how to explain how egregious this is, but if there's anything we've learned in the last 40 years of urban design, is you don't close streets. Streets in the city are like veins in your body. They're good. You know, you want to be on the street. The street's a valuable thing. It brings life. It brings oxygen. It brings everything to a place, and closing off the street, you know, it's situated by the freeway, makes it a more of a suburban enclosed thing. There really isn't anybody that's sort of minding the store in Milwaukee when it comes to the sort of basic principles of urban design. And these principles have been really vindicated over the last 20 years now. And after cities reached their nadir, Mayor Meyer made super blocks, and they thought that was a good thing too. Get rid of the cityness. And if you just extrapolate this, if you think of any city in the world, you can look on Google Maps. If you look at any city in the world where you enjoy walking, whether it's the West Village or San Francisco, you can measure it and you'll notice they all have small blocks. So that is really the big thing. I don't really think there is an architectural discussion to be had about the arena. It'll be highly functional for the owners of the Bucks, then they'll make money. I just don't think it's really has a civic
component.
Nature. No,
yeah.
I don't really think so.
You said a word that I really like, which is the cityness of a city. I think one of the things that people have argued about here is that, you know, we need to get more life downtown. We need to get that movement of people and stuff that makes a city.
Well,
different from someplace
it's
else.
It's happening. You know, density is the key component. And if you look at all the condominium development up Water Street, Third Ward, and where I live in the Fifth Ward and Walker's Point, basically people today, younger people today, don't want to commute on a freeway for 20 minutes to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Drives them crazy. So they'd rather ride their bike or walk to work and so forth. So that's, you know, one part of it. But what is really, you could call it urbanness or cityness, but what's sort of interesting about this issue is the reason you wouldn't close a street is because you believe in the, not the city as a problem, but the city as a virtue. And the fact that we have small blocks and lots of streets is something that you'll never find in the suburbs. It's a virtue. It's an asset. I sometimes think that, you know, in the Baird administration, they don't really understand that. That's why they allowed DOT to widen the street in front of the art museum. They don't understand the essential qualities of cities. You don't really need to worry about these things. This is the rich part of the garden that's just going to keep growing.
Well, one of the things that is trying to add to the cityness of Milwaukee is the Grand Avenue Mall proposed restructure. If it goes ahead the way they've proposed so far, do you think that will help
Well, I think that's really fascinating. First of all, I'm not up on this entirely, but the Grand Avenue Mall has been a fire sale and it's changed hands several times. And this is the first time someone decided to actually do an architectural rendering that I'm aware of. I guess these are younger people and they think, wow, there's something that we can do with this spot of land. And, you know, you have to wonder, it is the obvious next place to experience real urban growth. You have a interesting guy that's heading Marquette that's real estate oriented, and he's bought a couple parcels and he sort of wants to connect Marquette with the rest of Wisconsin Avenue. And you have what's going on east of the river. So it's really the next thing, and this seems like this could be, it sounds smart to me. I mean, you have to realize that these ideas, that they float a lot of ideas, and it all depends on how the money comes in, which is something I'm not an expert on. But I think it's the first genuinely hopeful and optimistic take. I think that the people that bought that are optimistic about the place, as opposed to the people that owned it before that were essentially pessimistic. They were riding it down and buying it because it was cheap and waiting to turn it over to someone that has a fresh idea. I think the Kubala-Washakko plan is kind of a interesting one. I think it's kind of smart. Actually, Kubala-Washakko, I think, has opened up an urban lab in my neighborhood. They just are finishing a building right around the corner in Walker's Point. So I think that's you know, a completely fresh idea in a place that's just obvious.
And been crying out
yes.
for something. It is such prime center city space
right.
that, you know, in the 10 years that I've been here, and of course we moved from there to our current studios.
Yeah, you were in the Plankinton.
We're in the Plankinton in the basement. And we always would look at, you know, you're there all the time and you think, this space is so underutilized. This space is fabulous. Why isn't it yep. being used well?
Well, the Plankinton is just one of the great buildings in Milwaukee. It's just such a fabulous building. And the old Gimbel's building next door is pretty great, although it doesn't really have an entrance. So I think a fresh look, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the other thing I think is really interesting about West Wisconsin Avenue is Marquette. And one of the things that has really hurt development in Milwaukee, I've never written about this, but I always wondered about this, is why Marquette has never provided or been interested in playing the real estate game. So their faculty lives closer to Marquette. You know, they all live in Shorewood or, in other words, there's a real estate, a lot of momentum that can happen there. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that a previous administration in Marquette wanted to close off Wisconsin Avenue, like 4th Street. But I think the current head of the place sees Marquette as part of an urban fabric that benefits. And that's the thing, breaking the urban fabric. Urban fabric is a gift. It's like being able to work with an unbelievably rich material that you can't buy anymore at the store. And so I think that that's the problem with the arena. And that's, I think, the virtue of what Marquette is thinking about and people at the Grand Avenue Mall.
The other thing that has been in the news recently is what's been happening at the domes, which is urban but not.
Well, I got a lot of flack. I've always been totally humiliated by the domes. I think it's an architectural embarrassment. It's a form of folk art. The guy didn't really know what he was doing.
So it's not the domes, what the domes do. It's the actual structure
the
of them.
The structure,
that
right.
You,
no, so okay. what yeah. my thought was, you know, people, I think it's an anti-Abley thing. I think the people that are anti-Abley made that a campaign issue that, oh, my God, he would consider taking the domes down. Now, I think anybody in a responsible position, it has to be on the table. I mean, are you going to spend $50 million to repair a concrete structure? I mean, I don't think anybody made domes out of concrete. From an architectural point of view, it's not something that can be put up there as a masterpiece along, as some people have, you know, with Frank Lloyd Wright. It's not a masterpiece. It was actually kind of a goof. It was a really huge architectural goof. As Jim Shields was quoted in the Journal, you know, he was working beyond his capacity. Now, that's a good thing. I mean, maybe we want musicians occasionally to go beyond their comfort zones and to do things that they've never done before. But in the case of Grebe, I mean, really the form is and maybe I should like this. It's adolescent, but the form reminds me of Janet Leigh's bra in Psycho. You know, the highly constructed bra. It's just a goofy thing where, you know, the grammar is all wrong. The building is squished. It's not transparent or light. In fact, interestingly enough, the county built this wonderful greenhouse next to it that they use for a winter market. And if you actually stand in that greenhouse, when you go into that greenhouse, it's beautifully light and transparent. It's a really cool place to be when it's nice outside or even when it's cold outside because of its transparency. And then you go into this leaden, heavy place. Domes are supposed to be light. They're supposed to be like bubbles. I mean, he was a hometown boy. And my point is that if you want to save the domes, architecture is not one of them. Now, also—
Not one of the reasons.
Not one of the reasons. Yeah. Also, remember, the domes replaced something that was kind of nice. It was a more Victorian— What do you call it?
Like those glass houses.
Yeah,
those
like,
beautiful.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that this, if people had faith in Abley and faith in county government, this could be a real opportunity to do something much better, perhaps more green, perhaps more engaged with the environment. It's not a bad time for a new idea for the domes. Now, of course, we've passed them on the freeway and people say, They love the domes, and if they want to love the domes, they can have it. But it's, let me put it this way, no architecture teacher, professor would ever take their students to the domes other than to show what a disaster it is. It was like he understood the language, understood modernism, understood what he was doing by, you know, reading a magazine or something.
I was going to say, understood the language by using Google Translate.
Yeah, or something. There's something really wrong with it. It's misshapen. It's beyond awkward, and we could do better.
In the best of all possible worlds, what would you like to see replace it?
You know, it replaced a sort of Victorian greenhouse. And if there's some, if there ever was a good time to revisit that idea, it seems like that whole place could become an ecology center, making a city more green. And it should be more educational, it seems to me.
Well, making the city more city, too,
yes.
To go back to our earlier.
Right. People
thing.
Should go there and they should maybe learn more about how they can grow things. So I don't really know. I'm just a citizen bystander in this issue.
Well, Tom Bamberger, it is always good to talk to our resident citizen bystander for architecture here. I look forward to doing this more often. And thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Bonnie.
Tom Bamberger writes about architecture and urban design for the online Urban Milwaukee. You'll find a link to his coverage of the Bucks Arena and the Domes at wuwm.com.